Total Tuscany Podcast, number 25. Ciao and welcome to another edition of the Total Tuscany Podcast. I'm Travis Justice, joined once again by Mr. Pat Campagna, my friend and co-publisher of TotalTuscany.com. Hello, Pat.
Travis, great to be here. How are you today?
You know, it's a fine November morning, and you know, we've covered a lot of topics on TotalTuscany.com's podcast, and this is our 25th edition. One thing we really haven't focused on a lot is art, and when you visit Tuscany and Florence in particular, you're surrounded by art and all kinds of art. Mm-hmm.
Little niches here and there on the street corner, and it's just amazing. You walk around a corner and there's a fantastic church or some architecture that you really I really didn't appreciate what I was looking at when I was there.
Well, and as we found that sometimes it's not very well explained. You can get to the guidebooks that can tell you where to go, but you may not know exactly what you're looking at, and that could be a bit confusing. It can also be a bit frustrating, especially when you're on what many consider as a once-in-a-lifetime vacation. So we are here to try to take some of that frustration away. And when it comes to art, it art is in the eye of the beholder. Everything can be art to you. I mean, I think the landscapes of Tuscany are definitely art to me. But it's nice to have, should we say, a friend in the business. And that's what we're giving you today, is a friend in the business. We want you to meet Alexandra Corey. She has a PhD in Italian Renaissance art. What that means is she's really smart and she knows her art. And since 2004, she's been writing the blog arttrav.com. Alexandra, I find it interesting on your website, arttrav.com, that in the About You section, it says you want to make art accessible to all. What does that mean?
Thanks, Travis. What does that mean? You started with my motto, so I should have a prepared sentence to explain that to you. But it really is what it says. I want to help make art accessible. And I guess to expand on the idea behind it, art is not something, especially I'm thinking in particular the kind of art that you see in Italy when you're traveling. So it's all that Renaissance art. And a lot of people say there's a lot of Madonnas and they all look the same and all that stuff with the gold in it. So that kind of art is not all that easily approachable. So what I just want to do is try to help decipher it and make it easy for regular people to just get closer to it.
Alexandra, one of the difficult challenges that I have, and maybe Travis too, is if we're being honest, when we're in Italy, we're just inundated with art. It's just everywhere. And I don't know that we appreciate it as much as we should. How would you recommend that a first-time traveler to Tuscany actually appreciate and understand what they're looking at?
I think it's important when you're first coming to Tuscany, to Italy, to do a little studying beforehand, which is pretty obvious as an answer. But, you know, other than reading guidebooks, not all guidebooks give you a whole lot of art. Or if they do, they sort of tell you where to go, but they don't necessarily tell you what you're looking at. So if you're really interested in getting a bit of a deeper understanding, there's a couple of sort of really older specialized guides that are more art-based about Florence. One is actually Eve Borsuk's book. Don't exactly remember the whole title, just says Florence really big across the cover. That's from the 1960s. That was a fabulous book that connects the social history of the Renaissance and everything to all of the things that you see in Florence. Because, like, as you said, it's everywhere. You need to wander down the street and you've got the Duomo and you don't even know what you're looking at most of the time. So it's good to kind of read it with something like that, or even just like an art history textbook if you can get through something like that. Although a lot of the time those things are kind of boring.
It's funny that you say art is everywhere, because when I've gone to the Uffizi, I try to get through there as fast as I can, because to me it's overwhelming, and it's just like, okay, if I want to see everything, I got to move as fast as I can. But if I'm out, let's say, walking in Pienza, or I'm in San Gimignano, I'll stop and I'll look at a front door for like an hour because I find a door in Tuscany art. Is that normal? Is that weird? Or do you sometimes find the same things? Just everyday things on the street are art to you?
That's the thing, is that not, you know, museums don't just contain art. It's really, I mean, all the architecture that you see. So I live outside in sort of suburban Florence and work right in Piazza Santa Maria Novella. So right there next to the train station of the same name, but also this marvelous medieval church with a Renaissance facade. And there's sort of two ways to get from the train station to the office, but I always take the detour through the piazza so I can walk in front of the church, because the facade is by Alberti, and it's from the Renaissance period, which is the part that I studied the most in art history, and I love it. And I just love the fact that I'm going past a church like that every day. So that's the art that's everywhere. All the architecture, all the palazzi in Florence, all of it is technically art historical, but it's also what we live with. So you don't just have to go into museums to see art. And in fact, often if I'm recommending a sort of a one-day itinerary for first-time visitors, if they're not really, really super into art, I say don't go to the Uffizi, because it's overwhelming, like you said.
Yeah, I think we had to go through the Uffizi in about, 4 hours, and it was just...
You spent 4 hours there. I spent 2 hours there. I was going through as fast as I could. It's just because all the people in there, and I just felt like, okay, I had to move on and move on and move on. Now, you have an app for the Uffizi, is that correct?
Mm-hmm. I do. And in fact, it is made to help people not feel so overwhelmed when they go in there. So so you're my target public. Have you had a chance to see it? Can I send you a copy?
Please.
Absolutely. Well, explain a little bit, when did you get the idea for the app, and what does the app all, and can they find it on iTunes or the iStore as well as Google Play?
Yeah, actually Google Play, no. So the idea is, it's called the Uffizi Art History Guide, which is just kind of a pack of keywords, but it's really it's an art history guide rather than just like a guide to the Uffizi, because I take people through there and I show them which works are most important. So sort of in each room, I'll say, okay, this is the room about international Gothic. I'll explain to you what that means. So, you know, the international Gothic is a period in art history characterized by certain things. And then I'll say, well, you know, in this room there's a couple of major altar pieces, but let's focus on this one. Because you can't see it all. 4 hours is a really long time. I cannot spend 4 hours standing up and looking at art like that. I mean, I can if I love a museum, if I go to like the National Gallery in London and I can sit down somewhere, but the Uffizi doesn't make it easy on you. They don't have benches for the most part. There's a ton of people in there. There's no signs. I find it really, really, really frustrating as an experience. So it really, the idea of making an app came out of just bringing people to the Uffizi over the years and saying, gosh, you know, you can't actually treat the viewing public like this. You can't not give them any information. People are completely lost. They don't know what to look at. So I try to help them pick which things to focus on. And then what I do is I give information, yes, but I also try to ask questions. Sometimes they're a little bit open-ended so that it tries to get you to start looking at the work and actually learn how to look. So the idea is you don't just get a laundry list in which you have the basic information about things, but you come out having learned some skills that you can then apply when you're looking around the rest of the city or the rest of the world.
It's funny that you mentioned how the visitors to the Uffizi travel through, because I didn't even notice that there weren't any benches. The art was so close together. And one of the observations that my wife and I had was that the windows were open. All this amazing art and the windows were open.
Yeah. I better not get started on the issue of conservation and money and stuff like that, because that's a can of worms.
Well, but do that, because I think I was fascinated with the same thing. Is do they not try to conserve their art and protect it?
No, they do. I don't know enough about preservation and the way that museums are supposed to be, but it does seem to me that precious altarpieces do need to have regulated heat and humidity. Of course, the Uffizi does have machines that are monitoring these things, and so it's quite possible that, you know, when the windows are open, it's there to actually try to regulate it more. Maybe if the windows were closed at a certain time of year or a certain time of day, it might have actually been more hot or more humid or whatever it is in there. So there could be kind of a kind of natural way to try to regulate it, because the fact is that it doesn't have air conditioning. So yeah, they're probably actually trying to help, but it can't really be very good for the paintings.
What I'm excited about your app, and what's the name of the app again that they can find on the iTunes store?
So it's called Uffizi Art History Guide. It's on the iTunes store, and it's also on Kindle. So it came out first as a Kindle book, just because it was taking me a little bit longer than I hoped to develop the app. Because actually, the crazy thing is that my husband and I wrote it ourselves. So we didn't hire an app developer. We downloaded Xcode, which was the programming code to make an app. And we sat down and we watched a couple of free tutorials and made it ourselves. So it's pretty basic. It doesn't have, you know, super duper features. It's really like kind of a menu and a series of pages with text and image. But it gets you through there and it gives you the information that you really need. Well, I'd like to make some improvements to it, though, from a technical point of view.
But you said something that was very interesting, and it is something that I noticed after waiting in line and then realizing I'm going to pay a little bit extra to go in before everybody else, was that once I got in there, I had no idea what I was looking at. You would go from room mm-hmm. to room, and there was very little description about where you were at and what I was looking at. And I found that very frustrating. So I think that's why I'm telling everybody right now, if you're going to Florence, if you're going to go to the Uffizi, download this app, because you don't want to feel lost in a really big building.
And it's a must. It's a must. Yeah.
Right. I mean, you spent all that money to get here. You know, it may be a trip of a lifetime for you. And you know, then you know, you say, oh gosh, I've got to go to the Uffizi. Maybe you know that the Primavera is there, or you know, there's certain things that you are familiar with, and so you head towards those. But you know, every museum is an opportunity to find a couple of things that you didn't know existed. But sometimes, yeah, you know, you're looking at this stuff. It's hard to know which ones are important from a sort of real historical point of view, which means anything you like may be important. But, you know, it's helpful to have a guide. Basically, the idea is it's kind of like I'm in there with you for all those friends that I couldn't really bring in there.
Of course, when Pat and I go over in March, you're going to give us a personal tour, though, right?
I can do that.
You can make that happen?
So, yes, I can.
You know, what's the best case? Everybody hears about the Uffizi. They hear about the Duomo or the David. And those are obviously tourist sites. But for you, who's been there for over 10 years now, mm-hmm. you know the art, you understand the art. What's the best kept secret in Florence when it comes to art?
I can't tell you that. I'm just kidding.
you know, you almost had me speechless, and I'm rarely speechless.
No, I was just buying time. a lot of people ask that. You know, it's not like there's a whole lot of things that are still hidden about Florence. But there's a couple of places that are really big, and so they're so big that the tourists actually get a little bit spread out in them. I really like visiting churches in general, and that's in part because I like seeing art in situ. That is, I like to see it where it was supposed to be in the first place. So all the architecture around Florence, all the major architecture, and so this is kind of interesting. Most people think that Florence is a Renaissance city, but most of the really important structures were built during the Middle Ages. So things were really, really going well for them in the 1290s. And that's when they started building the Duomo, Santa Croce, and Palazzo Vecchio. So all of those buildings that kind of evolved with time and have things, sort of the decoration starts getting done during the 14th century and some stuff from the 15th century. And so if you visit any of those places, the Duomo, I don't know, I think it's kind of best observed either from outside or from above it. But I really like Santa Croce. I've been spending a lot of time there lately for work. And I also really love Santa Maria Novella because I you know, go by it every day and I try to scoot in every once in a while. If you are a resident of Florence, you actually get to go into the major churches for free. So I try to do that on a regular basis, and San Lorenzo as well for that. So I like going to these places and looking at the architecture and looking how the art is actually functional to it. So, you know, the paintings that are on the walls, the altarpieces, the sculpture, how it all actually plays a role within the space of the church. And that's something that you don't get when those altarpieces have been brought into the Uffizi, for example. So churches in general, one particular church that I really like that's small and doesn't cost anything is Santa Trinita, which is right on the end of Via Tornabuoni, right across from Ferragamo shoe store. And it has a beautiful fresco cycle by Ghirlandaio, who you can also see in Santa Maria Novella. But it's free, it's little and it's quiet. And that's the kind of thing that, those are those moments where you can really experience a little bit of Florence all to yourself. And it's really quiet and marvelous, and what it must have been like when people first started discovering travel. So I recommend that place.
So Alexander, tell us about the Art Trav website and the Art Trav website and what you're trying to highlight there.
Art Trav started 10 years ago with a trip to Rome in 2004. And it began as a website because blogs didn't exist yet. And then it sort of evolved over time. And it's been a lot of things over time. Right now, basically, it's what we started with. It's my attempt of trying to make art accessible through descriptions of what I'm seeing around town. My travels in Tuscany, even beyond through Italy and through Europe. What I try to do is I try to distinguish myself from a lot of the other Florence and Italy blogs out there. And as you're talking to a whole series of bloggers and expats in your podcast series, you know, each one of us is sort of trying to do our own thing. Because in the end, we're all talking about the things that happen in one sort of small town. So what makes Art Trav different is I tend to go quite far into depth on artistic topics. So if I'm going to talk about an exhibition, I do try to go and see it and write a review that I think about having read the catalog and stuff like that. So I do try to give the point of view a little bit more of an expert, even if it's you know, I'm technically an expert in Renaissance art. I don't know that much about modern art. But if I'm going to review the a modern exhibit like Picasso at Palazzo Strozzi, I try to give what I can give with the kind of knowledge that I have. And yet, so to try to give something a little extra, something more than what you would get if you're just an average viewer. Just trying to help people basically see the art a little bit more.
Arttrav.com is the website, and Alexander Corey joins us on the Total Tuscany podcast. And, you know, we focus a lot on Florence, but you mentioned getting other parts of Tuscany. and I find all the hill towns to be just wonderful, full of unique they're unique pieces of art in their own right. Where do you find other great art throughout the Tuscan region?
Really, really great art. there's a lot of it. It's a lot of spread out. And you see various famous painters and architects in their works in all sorts of places. You mentioned Pienza before, which is an absolutely lovely town. And I mean, the whole town itself is historically significant because it's an example of Renaissance town planning. But actually, what I like most about when I get out into Tuscany is not so much the art. I mean, I don't go and look for the great art. Mm-hmm. I like that sort of feeling you get when you find a little pieve, a little Romanesque church or something, and there's no one there, and the bell tolls, and it's just you and maybe a cow. That's the kind of stuff that I really relish with Tuscany. So that's why actually my favorite area of Tuscany is Maremma, and that's an area that doesn't really have much great art.
Where's that located? Can I ask? Because I'm not familiar with it.
Okay, super. So good. I can do a plug for Maremma. It's the area that is kind of the Tuscany that people don't know about. if you head towards Siena and then you take the, from Siena, there's a Siena Grosseto highway. So you're going south, and I'm really, really bad with directions here, southwest from Florence. And it's the area, it's actually a really very vast geographic area that covers everything from mountains to sea. So a little bit beyond Siena, a little bit southwest of there, you hit kind of a bit of a mountain range. And so it's from those Amiata mountains all the way to the coast. And Maremma then stretches up beyond Livorno and all the way down into Lazio. Can you picture that?
Yeah, I can picture. Yeah, I've actually probably been in the region. In fact, the last time I was in there, but I just didn't know it was called that. So I kind of have a pretty good idea of where you're at there. It's interesting. You have an interesting story because you were raised in Toronto. You got your PhD at the University of Chicago, and now you've been in Florence. How did you get from Canada to Italy? Take us through that journey.
You know, it was a typical sort of study abroad student story. I was studying art history, and so Florence was a logical place to do study abroad. I didn't do it actually the way that most Americans do in a third year entire college year semester, but I did it in the summer. And I traveled abroad with Syracuse University. So through, in a 6-week traveling course in all of Italy that spent 2 weeks in Florence. So I liked that a lot. And it was actually on a bus ride to Naples when Professor Radke, the professor on that trip, said, you know, why don't you consider continuing in art history, and why don't you apply to the master's program here at Syracuse University in Florence? So I did, got in, got a scholarship to that program. And I spent 1999 doing the master's program. Syracuse University spends 3 or 4 months in actual Syracuse, upstate New York, before taking the students over for a year in Florence. And it's a really interesting program because it's intensive. You got to look around the city a lot and spend time as a group trying to figure out what the topic is of your group's thesis. And then at the end of a year of study, you present on a given theme. You present a thesis as an oral paper. So you gave a kind of conference. This is a tradition that's been going on for just over 50 years with Syracuse University. It's a really great program. And I'm still, you know, I still go and hear the master's students most years because they do really interesting things. So that program sort of set me up really well. And that's when I was here for a year. And I stayed on as a teaching assistant with the program for a while. And then I went on to a PhD. And let's say that us art history students usually come back. Everyone I know from that program and all my friends over time, they tend to sort of come and go. I am one that stayed because I met an Italian. So I married a Florentine. And, you know, that I was looking for a way to stay, but, you know, it's not like a marriage of convenience or anything. Great guy, really. So that's how that happened.
Alexander, I want you to imagine probably something that doesn't happen very often. Imagine you have a day or two off, no deadlines, no requirements, nothing pressing, just you and your husband taking the car out and spending some time in the rest of Tuscany. Where would you go? Mm-hmm. Where would you stay? And what kind of a restaurant or meal would you be looking forward to?
Actually, this happens more than you think, because one of the things that's great about having a blog is it makes me get out and do things. I think I would spend most of my time otherwise at home looking at a screen and working. But, you know, knowing that I've got to put out at least one article a week means, hey, you know, there's days where I'll say to Tommaso, hey, baby, let's go do things. And that means doing exactly what you say. So actually, after a number of years that we kept going back to the Maremma area, we actually bought a place there. And we go there, try to go there at least every 2 weekends. Sometimes that gets a little bit more spread out. But we go to this place. It's about half an hour from the coast in the middle of nowhere in a hill town that doesn't have any great art. And we use that as a home base to explore things. So when I have time off, I usually go into the Maremma area. And one of the things that we like to do when we go there is, you know, go for these walks. There's a lot of hiking trails and places to go, sort of walking in the woods. And a number of times they also encounter archaeological digs. So we try to head out and discover archaeological sites, art parks. There's a number of actually usually foreign artists who've made art parks in the area. So there's some nice things to do. Best weekend we've had of late was when we were invited to the Relais Chateau 5-star hotel called Borgo Santo Pietro, which is just on the border of the area that could be properly called Maremma. And it's right by a church where the famous sword in the rock is, San Galgano. And it's an absolutely marvelous place. It's a place that I would recommend to everybody just for a very, very special experience in Tuscany. It's kind of an international place of a kind of luxury that's understated and relaxing, and is the best place I've ever stayed. So, you know, my ideal weekend would be to reproduce that as frequently as possible, and eat in their Michelin-starred restaurant. And then, you know, travel around and see. And sometimes what I like about that area is there's more nature than art. So despite being, yes, an art historian and loving that part, what I like best about Maremma is really getting back to a nature and a kind of undiscovered Tuscany.
You know, it's funny. We were talking about art. I think most people that would listen to this podcast assume that we're talking about paintings or sculptures. But one thing that took me to realize, and it was my first trip to Tuscany, is that art there, to me, maybe I appreciate it more, is really in all things, whether it be a painting, whether it be a sculpture, landscapes, architecture, even food. It seems you're just surrounded by art everywhere you go.
No, absolutely. The Italian expression, anche l'occhio vuole la sua parte, is the eye needs to have, I don't know exactly how to translate that. It's something that you say about a well laid out plate. You know, when you got nice food presentation, you say, oh, yeah, anche l'occhio vuole la sua parte. You know, it tastes good, but it looks good too. So, you know, the Italians do really have aesthetics in everything they do, and that's definitely appreciable. For me, the way things look is pretty important. Not so much myself. I don't care about fashion and those things, but yeah, you know, there's something beautiful in a lot of life here.
Tell us about your love affair with the bus system in Florence, will you?
Did Georgia tell you to ask me that?
No, she did not. I think I was actually reading it in a blog about you, and I could just tell you have this wonderful love affair with the bus system.
I really hate it. although it's actually funny because through a blog post that I wrote many, many years ago complaining about the bus system, that's actually the first encounter that I ever had with Georgette, who I really do count amongst my closest friends. So, you know, at least something good came out of it. But, you know, okay, so Florence has a public bus system, and that's supposed to be a public service, last I looked, but it's not. It's like kind of a daily form of hell. so, you know, I take the bus to work, and there's nothing you can do about it. So, you know, I try to just sit back and be calm about it, but it's very inefficient. Let me just say that. Inefficiency is one of those things that kind of gets my goat. So,
Alexandra Corey has been our guest. Arttrav.com is the website. Check it out. You'll learn a ton. And she has so many great posts. And we've learned a lot today on this podcast. Alexandra, thanks so much for your time. We really appreciate
it. Great talking with you, Alexandra.
Thank you, guys. Thanks so much. And thanks for having these great podcasts as well.
You know what I like about Alexandra is that she puts things in layman's terms and things that I can understand, because art to many can be overwhelming and can be confusing.
She makes art approachable, and it's not intimidating. It's an everyday, because you're inundated with art in Tuscany. It is everywhere. And I'm amazed, because she's making it simple for us to appreciate something that's just incredible.
If you haven't looked at Alexandra's website yet, we encourage you to do so. It's arttrav.com. Also, check out her app, which you can find on the iTunes store, because it's full of good stuff and you can take that personal guide of the Uffizi. If you have not followed the Total Tuscany podcast on iTunes yet, please do so. You can do that on iTunes or on Stitcher. We are also all over social media. Follow us on Twitter at Total Tuscany and like our Facebook page, Total Tuscany. Pat, what I love about these conversations, you and I learn something new each and every week.
Absolutely. Walk away knowing just a little bit more about this place that we love.
And I hope you learned something as well. We'll be back again soon with another Total Tuscany podcast. For Pat Campagna, I'm Travis Justice. Have a great week, and remember to live Tuscan.